Want a chance to take me on in the This Week in Survivor History quiz? Leave us an iTunes review in the month of March, and you could be randomly drawn to take me on in Dees Ghoulish's quiz. That's at robhaswebsite.com/iTunes. Just leave your star rating and review on the page, and you too could take me on This Week in Survivor History at robhaswebsite.com/iTunes. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with our Exit Interview podcast, fifth exit interview of the season. And this morning we're going to talk to Stephanie Johnson, who was voted out by the Swap Tribe of five Navidi, and then even two of her own Malolo cast votes against her, a 7-1 vote against Stephanie Johnson last night. We'll talk to her here on the Exit Interview podcast, and then we're going to get into This Week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish, and we got another great guest on the line for today's show, and we're going to talk with Rourke Luskin from Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. So all that's coming up here today. Of course, last night, Stephen Fishback got into everything from the episode, had a little bit of a different opinion about the episode, and Stephen had a very nuanced take about that, which he really did explain well on the Know-It-Alls and in his People blog. I highly recommend checking that out. Then later on today, I have a lot of podcasts for you guys. We have Figgy. Jessica Figueroa is going to join me. Never had her on the podcast since her exit interview. You can talk with her a little bit. I'm sure we'll get into everything going on with this new showmance developing on the show. We'll talk with her later this afternoon. And then tonight, the great Corinne Kaplan is coming by here, that she's roped Nicole into coming up to the studio. So Nicole and I are going to check in with Corinne and get into a bunch of different topics from this season and beyond with Corinne Kaplan. That's your bonus podcast. And then we've got on the feedback show, Brett LaBelle is going to call in, and we'll have a lot of fun with him. So a lot of different ways to get your feedback into the show. You can email survivor@robhaswebsite.com. You can leave us a message at robhaswebsite.com/voicemail, or you can give us a call at 323-282-RHAP. Always fun to hear from you guys about any subjects you want us to weigh in on. We had a very fun feedback show this past week with Tyler Fredrickson as well, if you had a chance to catch that one. All right. Looks like we have Stephanie on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Stephanie, good morning. How are you?
Good as I can be. How are you, Rob?
Stephanie, I'm okay. I'm a little choked up still from a very emotional tribal council.
Oh, God. Did you cry as much as I did?
Well, probably not. Probably not. But, yes, Stephanie, yes. Very, very sad to see you go. And we had really high hopes that you were doing a really great job out there. Looking forward to talking to you about your game here today. When you look back, it was a hopeless situation. Even if you write hope in the sand, it was a hopeless situation there for you. Do you feel like, was there anything that you could have done differently in hindsight?
You know, honestly, I really don't believe there was anything I could have done. Being away from my tribe for that 24 hours was, and then also couple that with not being able to have an advantage to come back to, was there was just nothing I could do. Like, I came back and I had a few big ideas of like kind of chaotic things that Jenna and Michael and I could pull, because I had a lot of time on Ghost Island to sit and plot, like, what could I make up? What can you do? But when I got back there, it was a completely different camp. And I saw different relationships had been made. I tried to pull Jen and Michael aside. I told them straight up I couldn't play anything. There was, you know, but I had some ideas, and Jenna wouldn't look me in the eyes. And Michael was completely aloof, like, oh, I guess it's just going to be one of us. I don't know. And I mean, we've all seen Michael out there. He's not aloof. He's out there to f-ing play. Like, I knew instantly that they had A, formed something with somebody, or B, that they had thrown my name under the bus. And that was the last conversation that I had with them. And to pull off the move that I had plotted or thought of, I needed their vote and I needed their loyalty. So at that point, I was completely on my own, and I idol hunted. And then I tried to really focus on my relationships with Kellen, Chelsea, and Bradley to see if there was anything that I could, you know, do or say to possibly get them to stick with me instead of Michael.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because we saw that Michael and Jenna voted against you. So they completely threw you under the bus while you were on Ghost Island?
I think so. was horrible. I mean, that was dirt, right? I mean, backstabbing and Survivor, God, it's awful.
Yeah. Now, you were there. You saw Jacob come back from Ghost Island, and he tried to make a play. You really saw through what he was doing. Was there any part of that experience with Jacob that made you say, okay, well, I can't really bluff my way through coming back from Ghost Island with nothing?
Yes, because Kellen had been there. So I knew that I couldn't say that I had found like a hidden immunity idol there. She knew that that wasn't an option. And the problem with fake idols on this season is that they're all past players' idols. So it's like you have to have this long drawn out, you know, reverse the curse parchment and an exact replica. So fake idols are tricky this season because you have to, you know, you would have to make a complete replica. So my hope was that I could just find something, you know, after tearing down the place. But Bradley and Kellen are smart. Like they know what's up. Like it would have had to have been a damn good thing, and it would have had to be completely on my own because there's no way in hell Jen and Michael were working with me after I got back.
So in the challenge last night, I had wondered, was it possible that there were Naviti tribe members that might have been throwing that challenge? Did that thought cross your mind at all?
It crossed my mind, but if you look at Kellen, she is an open book.
Yeah, I don't think it was Kellen. I don't think it was Kellen. But Stephanie, I watched that challenge this morning, and I see Chelsea just like walking off the bridge a couple of times.
Oh God, no. She's like delusional because she was so hungry. She just like sat around all day. I don't think she would walk straight. Like there's no way that Chelsea would be smart enough to throw a challenge. No way.
Okay. All right. Just said, look, doing my due diligence.
Straight up. I just think that was like, she laid around all day. Like it was not, she was not smart enough to throw a challenge. There's no way.
Stephanie, I want to go back to last week's tribal council, and we had Michael making, you know, the big pitch of this is James's idol. It can protect two people. Ultimately, he stands up there with Jeff and says he wants to play the idol for you. Did you think he made the right call when he made that decision?
I was pretty positive it was me that night. And Brendan was too. Like we both had been chirping in Michael's ear individually all day that it's me, it's me, it's me. And so I think that, you know, Michael had that in the back of his head that it was going to be me or Brendan. I just think that he didn't read it right. And for me, if I had even a remote thought, like a 1% thought it could be me, it's not going to turn down an idol that played for me. You know, and unless Bradley had, or somebody had given some huge reaction, which they didn't, I'm not going to turn down an idol. I mean, it sucks. Like seeing Brendan go was heart wrenching. I mean, he's such a fighter and a player and he wanted it so bad, but I mean, we did our best and, you know, we threw the dice and unfortunately we just kind of f***ed up. Well, I guess Michael did, but, you know, for me in that moment, I was just extremely glad to be safe, but it backfired.
How much were you consulted on the plan that Michael was going to pull off at that tribal council? Was that sort of like a Malolo 4 decision, or was that Michael mostly freelancing that night?
It was definitely like us four. You saw us all plotting. We were strategizing all the time on different things we could do, different ways we could craft them. Michael and Brendan did, you know, have the idol. They showed it to Jenna and I, but we all thought of how best to play it. What Michael did brilliantly was orchestrate it. None of us knew that he was going to say it was for two people, which was flawless and just very high intelligence on his part. And it definitely worked and fooled them. So that I 100% credit to him. I mean, the kid is, he was playing hard out there and he played it well. It just, we didn't get the right read in time or, you know, luck didn't fall in our way that day. And fortunately it was Brendan that got the short end of the stick that night.
Stephanie, did you have any suspicion that Michael might've been lying about his age when you were out there?
Not at all. He could have told me he was like late 20s and I would have believed him. He's more mature and, you know, more put together than most 30-year-old men I know. He's very, well-rounded, and he can communicate with anybody. Like, he's going to be very highly successful in life. He just has a way of, he can come and talk to me about my kid's soccer and then go and, you know, talk with Chelsea about football and then go rap with Dez all in a matter of 2 minutes. Like, he's kind of a chameleon, and he's really good at it.
Stephanie, you voted for Desiree last night. Why was that the call for your vote?
Dez and I never really, like, hit it off out there. I mean, outside the game, we're kind of two peas in a pod. We're very similar, and I love her to death. But inside the game, we never hit it off. And I knew it was going to be me, but you always, you know, hope. So for me, if it had been Jenna or Michael, I didn't want to cast a vote at one of them and then have to go back and explain why I voted for them. And I told Bradley that I wasn't going to vote for him. So I didn't want it to be Michael and then me put a vote on him. I was close with Kellen and Chelsea. So once again, I didn't want to put a vote on them and then have to go back if it had been Michael and say, I'm sorry, I voted for you. Sebastian, I was definitely closer to than Dez. It was just kind of a vote that was a safe vote if it happened to be Michael going home or even Jenna. For me to go back to camp and be able to explain myself that evening of why I put that vote on that person.
Now, Stephanie, we saw you have a few interactions with Bradley over the last couple of episodes. What was your relationship with Bradley like? Was it like what we saw on the TV show, or was it actually better?
It was both. I mean, at times, like, I mean, I wanted him to just get strangled and poisoned. Like, I was ready to just get a medevac. I mean, not really, like, I'm not satanic, but, like, I mean, the thoughts go through your head when you're, like, food and sleep deprived that, you know, why don't I poison this guy? So I couldn't stand his whining and his complaining, and he did not make a good first impression. But at the same time, Bradley and I really bonded. And, like, we shared really personal stories with each other. And whenever we had personal life stories from outside of the game, we got along really, really well. But it was the element of anytime strategy was brought up, I just wanted to, like, wring his neck. So, like, when you see us on the beach and we're talking strategy and I'm just forcing a smile and then he walks away and I roll my eyes, that sums it up. Like, I could talk to Bradley all day about life, but when it came to strategy or his whining, I literally wanted to just, like, strangle the kid. He was so annoying.
Can you talk a little bit about the relationship that is forming between Sebastian and Jenna? Could you tell that there were maybe some sparks between them when the two tribes swapped together?
Oh, immediately. Like, Jenna and I were super close out there, and immediately the girl talk about Sebastian started. You know, she started talking to me about him. And, I mean, it's like, I've been around the block. I mean, I did, and I could tell that there was something there immediately. And it was a very kind of childish, like an innocent childish flirtation or whatever. But I definitely knew something was going on from the get-go. Like, it was so easy to read, which did have me worried. But in the end, I put my faith in Jenna. I thought Jenna would choose me over Michael, and she didn't. But no, the Sebastian thing and Jenna was very real, and it was very apparent from day one.
Did her hair smell like a dead weasel?
You know what? I never actually smelled her hair, because that's just nasty
maybe.
Shit.
That sounds like a maybe.
I will tell you that Sebastian's hair on day 14 smelled like he had just, like, washed it with herbal essence. It was unreal. Like, his hair seriously smelled better than anything I've ever smelled before in my life. It smelled like he just lost it.
It's all that Laffy Taffy. It's sort of all baked in. Now, talk to me about going back to the premiere. So there was a moment, and you were really incredible in that episode, where Jacob comes back from Ghost Island and he tells you everything. He spills his guts about everything and how he had the legacy advantage, but he had to gift it to Morgan. And now Morgan, we know, gets voted out of the game. She gives it to Dominic. But did you tell anybody about what Jacob told you?
No. Nope. I never spilled one of Jacob's secrets. I knew his idol was fake. I knew about the rice. I walked in on that. Like, I never threw Jacob under the bus, and I never spilled any of those secrets. I kept them all, and I really thought about using my knowledge about the legacy advantage to my benefit. You know, knowledge is power, and I thought maybe I could tell Callan or Bradley I had a source of knowledge. But I also read all of them. Like, I knew that I was going to go home, and it was kind of my last little power move, like, to be like, no, I'm not giving you guys any information that'll help you get farther if you're going to vote me out. So, nobody knew. So, in the game, you know, Dom was the only one, and I didn't even know Dom had it.
Were you disappointed when you saw that Morgan was voted out because you knew that she had something and you had some dirt on her?
I was shocked, and I was so mad. I was like, seriously, anybody but her, like, blindside somebody else. But I was so looking forward to working with her and getting that information that it completely bummed me out. It's like one of those other little things that I can throw into my bucket of bad luck.
And then during the episode, you know, there was so much talk about that you had, you know, tried to get to this point, and this was, you know, such a goal for you to get out there to Survivor. Is returning to Survivor the new goal, or have you had your fill and now are on to the next goal?
You know, I mean, I would go back tomorrow if they asked, definitely. But I also am approaching it with the same attitude that I approached trying to get on the show. I'm not, of course I want to go, I wanted to get on or I want to go back, but I'm not going to like make it my life. I'm just going to keep living my life and doing my thing and getting more experience because I truly believe, I mean, even though Brendan and I are like the old people and we got voted out early, I really do believe that life experience helps you in this game. So I'm going to keep like rocking my game, doing my life. And then, you know, when I get the call, I'll set out. Of course I will.
The way to do it, Stephanie. So nice to talk to you. All the best, and hope we can catch up again down the road, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, take care, Stephanie. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Stephanie Johnson on the Survivor exit interview. Wasn't expecting as much cursing. That took me by surprise a little bit there on the exit interview. But very surprised to hear that Jenna and Michael were giving her the cold shoulder. This is not exactly the picture that was painted in the episode. So good stuff there from the exit interview. All right, so let's switch gears here and bring in the host of This Week in Survivor History and captain of the Kalish Kangaroos, the host of Twish with Kalish, Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob, I love the new rhyming scheme. This is great.
Yes, so shout out. That I have to give proper credit to the person that came up with Twish with Kalish.
Yeah, with someone on Twitter.
Yes, please. Yeah, let us know that. Speak up so we can give you your proper credit for the Twish with Kalish. Will that be the new hashtag for this segment?
I think it should be. I think it's a great hashtag. And I also, talking about kangaroos, I learned something new this week in my research. Kucha, the tribe from yes. Survivor the Australian Outback, means kangaroo.
Yes. Would you prefer to have your hat say Kalish's Kucha?
I don't know. That might be too deep of a pull. I think the kangaroo is a little bit better.
All right. Well, you've got a great guest for us this week in your pouch. Please yes. welcome from Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers, the great Rourke Luskin. Rourke, how are you?
I'm emerging from the pouch, just ready to compete.
Yes. Rourke, how did Dees Ghoulish convince you to come here on to This Week in Survivor History?
Well, he intelligently sent an emissary known as Mike Bloom.
Yes.
And he reached out, and if Mike Bloom says it's fun, then I'm in.
Okay. All right. So Mike Bloom recommended this?
Yeah. And so if it goes badly, it's going to crash back on him. So he better know.
It's all on Mike Bloom. Okay. Well, pleasure yes. to have you here. Looking forward to having you on the voicemails in a couple of weeks.
Yes. I'm sure we'll have fun with all of my great knowledge that I'm about to display.
Because Rourke, sometimes this goes like off the rails this week in Survivor History. I don't want you to have a negative experience on this and then not want to do the podcast anymore.
Wow. Hedging already.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So
well,
I just,
blame Bloom. Don't blame me if this goes off the rails. He set this whole thing up.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Before we get into the highly anticipated contest this week, let me take a moment and thank our sponsors for this week in Survivor History. And those are the people that bring you Legacy Box, not Legacy Advantage. It works totally different. Legacy Box takes your home movies and pictures, photos, things that you have on media, in media res, things that you are not able to currently watch because you do not have those devices, and they turn them into digital copies that you can watch anytime. Legacy Box will take all of your VHS, Hi-8, whatever you've got, old wedding videos, and they will convert them into digital files for you. What they'll do is they send you a box that is going to keep all of your personal tapes and film completely safe. You send it off to them and they are going to give you updates all along the way, sending you up to 12 email updates and scanning your videotape barcodes at every step of the process. They are the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos, and they've been in business for over 10 years. Over 400,000 families have trusted Legacy Box, and all the work is done by hand right here in the USA. That we've used them for some of the videos that we have from the early days of Nicole and I, and from when we first got together. I bought a video camera, Deese, when I went to the Survivor finale for Survivor the Amazon. And we have pictures of when we were young and happy and didn't have kids.
Yes, that sounds great. And also, I'd be able to watch my Survivor the Marquesa tapes that I have on VHS from back in the day.
Yes. Jordan, would you like me to put any videos from your bar mitzvah into my Legacy Box?
Yeah, I mean, I hear these bar mitzvahs could get pretty rowdy. So I think that is something you should do.
All right, Rourke, would you come to the viewing party once we get the tape back from Legacy Box?
Oh, absolutely. Any home movie viewing, I am in for.
All right. So go ahead. We've got a great offer for our listeners. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your old home movies, film reels, and videos. Visit LegacyBox.com today to get started. And for a limited time, they've got a great discount. Get 40% off your order when you go to LegacyBox.com/Rob. With that offer, Legacy Box starts at just $45, or save up to $200 on the largest Legacy Box kit. Go to LegacyBox.com/Rob and save 40% today. Start with a few tapes and digitize your entire collection at LegacyBox.com/Rob. Save 40% off your Legacy Box today and get started preserving your past. Unlike the Legacy Advantage, the Legacy Box will not be cursed. Okay.
Yeah, so when you scan those video barcodes, do they go to Barcode Island?
Yes, they go right to Barcode Island. All right. Jordan, tell Rourke and I about the amazing categories that you have for us this week.
Okay, so the categories that we have, and each one of these categories corresponds with one question. As always, we have Winner, Winner, Hot Dog Dinner. We have the Not So Amazing Race. We have the Rob That Doesn't Suck. And we have Historical Survivor Comparisons. And as always, each of you are going to be able to answer two of these multiple choice questions. If you choose to forego the multiple choice options and are correct, you get 2 points. And if you're correct with the multiple choice options, you get 1 point. So, Rourke, as our guest, it is your turn to choose the first category.
Rourke, did you follow all that?
No.
Okay.
But I'm sure I'll figure it out.
Okay.
And like my heart is pounding and I think I'm like sweating. Like this means nothing and I'm so stressed out.
Okay, don't be stressed.
You win a Kayla's kangaroo hat, doesn't mean nothing.
Let's go with historical survivor comparisons.
All right, historical survivor comparisons. And we're going to go to Survivor Worlds Apart. The episode's called We're Finally Playing Some Survivor from March 18th, 2015, 3 years ago this past Sunday. At the tribal council in which he is voted out, Max Dawson compares the Worlds Apart tribe spot to that of another season in Survivor history. Which season did he compare his own with?
One World.
One World is correct. And Rourke,
do I just get to answer?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So if you, and you didn't use the multiple choice options, so you get a full 2 points, full credit on that question. And you were off to a blazing start.
Hot start.
A 2-0 lead over Rob. Congratulations. So Rob, choose your category.
Okay, Deese. I'll go with the Rob That Doesn't Suck.
All right, the Rob that doesn't suck. So this question is from Survivor Marquesas, The Wind's Twist, from March 20th, 2002, 16 years ago, Tuesday. Michael Yerger was two when this episode aired. So after Survivor the Marquesas tribe swap, Boston Rob gives a famous confessional describing his new Row 2 tribe members that probably wouldn't fly in 2018. About one person, he says, he or she probably thinks he or she is a lot smarter than he or she really is. Who is he shading in that particular segment of the confessional?
Well, I feel like by process of elimination, I could get down to who it might be. I feel like that there are a bunch of other people that he gets to. I will say that I'm going to go with Tammy.
Tammy, unfortunately, it is not Tammy. He talks about how he doesn't think he has much of a chance with Tammy because she's engaged, but it's actually Gabriel Cade who he calls him a brainiac and thinks he thinks he's a lot smarter than he actually is. So that is 0 points. Rourke, you
I
have
see Tammy Leitner on the news all the time.
Yeah, she's a pretty big name. You definitely see a lot more of her than Gabriel Cade.
Yeah, no, you don't see Gabriel Cade anywhere.
He thought he was too smart. So Rourke, 2-0 lead, and it is your turn to again choose a category.
I will say that okay. I got a much harder question also.
I was going to say, gun to my head, I never would have produced that answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's some luck involved.
Thank God I picked ball. Also, by the way, did you summon me for this? Because this is like my boot. This is like the fifth boot thing.
No, but I guess it did work out that way.
Okay, just wondering. I will do winner, winner, hot dog dinner.
All right. Winner, winner, hot dog dinner. So we're going to go to Survivor Heroes versus Villains from the great episode Banana Etiquette from March 24th, 2010. That is 8 years ago this coming Saturday. In this episode, both the villains and heroes went to tribal where they voted off Tyson and James respectively. One player per each tribe won individual immunity, and they had the chance to battle each other to win hot dogs and soft drinks to enjoy at the other tribe's tribal council. Which two players won individual immunity?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so I know though that the villains ate. I remember that. Oh dear God, I'm just gonna have to like guess blindly.
You can always get the multiple choice options for 1 point if you would like.
Fair enough. I do have a 2-0 lead, so he would have to get the next one with no help. So yeah, I'll take multiple choice.
All right, so A, was it JT and Boston Rob? B, JT and Danielle DiLorenzo, C, Candace and Boston Rob, or D, Kansas and Danielle DiLorenzo?
Kansas.
Candace.
I'm going to go with Candace and Boston Rob.
Candace and Boston Rob. Rourke, very good answer. That is 1 point since you heard the multiple choice options. You get three. Yes. And you were correct. The villains did eat after that that Tyson Tribal Council where he essentially voted himself out. Boston Rob defeated Candace in the one-on-one challenge, but they did both win immunity
in the individual part.
So very good job. You have a 3-0 lead, but Rob has one more question to answer. So we're going to go to
He cannot overcome this.
You cannot overcome this, but we do have a final category where crazier things have happened. So,
all right,
for the last multiple choice question,
like, what? Okay, this is just a winner's edit. This is production intervention. I do not like this little thing that's going to come in here and help Rob out.
There's always a final category where you both.
Yeah, Rourke, you obviously don't listen to this segment very often. There is no winner edit for
this
Rob.
Not new?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But Rob's on a 2 week losing streak. He hasn't won this season. Yeah. So no winners edit.
That's
for,
good.
For
That's
Rob.
Inflated.
He's,
thank you.
Yeah. So we'll see. And he's losing. He's being shut out right now. So we're going to the Not So Amazing Race. And this is from the same episode of Heroes versus Villains we just spoke about. In order to try and prove that he could still be an asset to his tribe, despite injuring his knee, who did James Clement race on Heroes Beach?
JT.
JT is correct. And Rourke, you have a 3-2 lead going into the final question. So the way that this is going to work, if you remember, and we're going to actually go to Survivor Palau for this question, Jellyfish and Chips from March 23rd, 2005, 13 years ago tomorrow. The chips that they refer to in the title of this episode is they actually put some Survivor trivia on Pringles. And It was the Oolong tribe who did win, actually. That they weren't able to win an immunity challenge, but they did win a reward challenge where they went to Jellyfish Lake and they got to eat Pringles with Survivor trivia on it. So I have taken the trivia questions from the Survivor Pringles questions, and each of them correspond with a number 1 to 18. I actually had to eliminate a lot of the questions because some of them were too easy, some of them were too hard. Like one of the questions was, what crown did Survivor Marquesas Castaway Gina win? And the answer was the watermelon Florida spitting. Watermelon. Oh, so I guess Rob would have gotten that right. I thought it was a little
you
hard.
Threw out the ones that I knew, Jordan.
I know. I did that on purpose, actually. I Googled all of your Survivor, like your random Survivor facts, and I got rid of those. There was another question I had to get rid of. Who did Rob C. have a crush on in Survivor the Amazon? And I thought that was a little bit unfair. The answer was Heidi. So I got rid of the Amazon questions because I felt that.
They asked that in the show?
They didn't ask it on the show, but it was on a Pringle.
Okay. You could see it. It was visible.
It was not all of these were necessarily on the show, but all of these are Survivor trivia questions that were on Pringles.
Were these written on actual Pringle chips?
Yes.
Yes, they were written on Pringles.
With edible ink?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. So these questions. So if the wording is bad, don't blame me. Blame Pringles. So you're going to attempt to you're going to alternate choosing numbers from 1 to 18, which correspond with trivia questions from Survivor Pringles. If you answer incorrectly, you will not be able to earn any more points in this round. The most either player can score is 3 because there's going to be 4 total guesses between the two of you. So, Rob, you are trailing, which means you are going to get the first question and you have to choose a number 1 to 18.
OK. I will go with number 17.
Number 17. What luxury item did Mad Dog bring with her to the Outback?
What luxury item did Mad Dog bring with her?
If you get this wrong, you can't gain any more points and you actually lose the game. So you need to get this right in order to have a chance of winning.
Well, I don't remember if it was her luxury item or not. But I will say that she brought her Mad Dog hat.
Her Mad Dog hat. So she did have a hat that said Mad Dog, and she did give it to Amber when she left the game. But her luxury item was lipstick. That was just a piece of clothing that she had. So, Rob, you don't get any points. But just for fun, Rourke, why don't you answer one of these questions to pad your lead a little bit?
I'll do a victory lap. Number 12 is my lucky number.
Number 12.
Also, I'd love that. How many listeners listening at home knew Mad Dog had lipstick in 17 years ago?
I Googled it, and yes. It is on it's on her Survivor Wiki.
Oh, okay. I should be memorizing this all week.
Andrew Savage would have gotten that question.
Yeah.
All right. So question number 12 for Rourke. In order to pad her lead and go 4-2 over Rob, who made fried green tomatoes on Survivor the Australian Outback?
Am I allowed to say the chef guy?
You can say the chef guy. It's Keith, but that's actually incorrect.
Jerry did it.
See, Rob, they're not all that hard. So you both got 0.
Okay. Here's what I want to that hashtag Twish with Kalish. How many people knew Gabriel was smarter than that he thinks he's smarter than he is, and that Mad Dog had lipstick as a luxury item?
To be fair, both of these questions, at least I would have gotten before writing the questions. I mean, I didn't even write the lipstick question, but I did know that.
Mm-hmm.
See, Rourke, no producer interference. Rourke, you are the winner. Do you want to go? You want to go one more each? Do you want to go one more question?
Why? For what reason?
Just to see.
Hey, I missed it too.
Okay. What do you want to do, Rourke?
I mean, we might as well do one more.
Okay.
Let's do one more. Rob, you're like Bradley today.
Yeah.
Okay. So Rob, I'll let you answer another
more?
One. I'll let you get another. Actually, no. This is just for some gigs, as they like to say.
Who says that?
I don't know. I think I heard someone say that once, and I've always liked it. Rob, you can answer a question. No more points. Rourke wins the game 3-2. This is just for the fans at home. Pick a number from 1 to 18. No 12. No 17.
Okay. How about 9?
All right, number nine. Who from Survivor Borneo is a Wisconsin dairy farmer?
Dirk Bean.
So yes, if we were still playing the game, you would have gotten a point. And Rourke, one more question between 1 and 18.
What did he just, Rob, what number
9.
Did you just pick?
I picked 9.
Okay, I'm going to go with 2.
Okay, number 2. Which Survivor Pearl Islands tribe wore orange?
Oh, for God's sakes. If you think I know tribe names. Ugh. Okay. They were located in a Spanish-speaking area. They were named after, like, explorers. Was it... Were they Drake?
Morgan. It was actually Morgan. Drake was the other tribe. So... Rourke, you didn't get the...
Okay,
the,
that was, like, so much mentally closer than I thought I would get to that one.
Yeah,
you're close.
I mean, you got the other tribe, so you did better than you thought you were going to do originally, and you won the game. Rob, you're... Three-game losing streak. This is crazy.
Yeah, let's talk to Rourke. Rourke, who is the first person that you followed on Twitter?
The literal first person?
Yes, do you remember?
Is it you? Is that what you want to say?
No, this isn't trivia.
I have no idea.
I have no idea that we discussed this with Nicky Adanza last week, and that he was telling about his Twitter follows, and we discovered that the second person that he ever followed on Twitter was J-Lo.
Well, I've been getting a lot of LOL joy out of Al Gore's Instagram.
Yes. Why? What is he posting?
Did you notice who he followed?
I have no idea. I don't follow Al Gore on Instagram.
He literally follows 28 people.
Yes.
Included in them, Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
Jason Mraz. Shailene Woodley.
J-Lo?
28 people. And he is following these, like, random celebrities. Like, don't you have better things to be looking at?
Is
and
this a
like
meme?
Nancy
Al
Pelosi,
Gore's Instagram?
The Sierra Club.
Yes. Well, he did invent the internet.
Yeah, an inconvenient tweet.
Yeah.
Yes. So, but how do you know this about Al Gore's Instagram?
I went to his Instagram and clicked following.
To see who it is. Following.
Because it's literally 28 people. It's such a small sample size. It's really easy to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Do you hope to be number 29?
I mean, I am putting out premium content on the Instagram. And so, yes.
Can we start a campaign like to get Al Gore to follow Rourke? Hashtag follow Rourke.
He does not
all of
our
RGB Nation tweet him.
Okay. We'll see. Do you have any other interesting facts besides that Al Gore follows 28 people on Instagram?
I'm trying to... How do I figure out what mine is?
Okay, how many people you follow on Instagram?
No. I follow only 103 people on the Twitter. I think it like aggregates by who you followed when.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the first person I followed was Haley.
Haley Strong on Twitter,
yeah.
Or Instagram?
On Twitter.
Okay, there you go. Good follow.
Choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the family.
And who was the first celebrity that you followed?
Scrolling. Paul Scheer.
Okay, good.
I love him.
All right. Well, Rourke, that you are on a mission. You are going to be the first person to appear on every single RHAP podcast. This is so exciting.
The problem is I don't watch Big Brother.
Oh, why not Big Brother?
I cannot get into that show.
Yeah. Why? Did you try it?
No.
You won't even try it.
Just through osmosis, I know I can't deal.
Okay.
Rourke, I tried BB19, and it may have not been the best Big Brother season to try. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be into it as well in the future.
Great. Thank you. You can be on this okay. bandwagon with me.
All right. Well, Rourke, thank you so much. Congratulations on your win.
Thank you.
Yes, wear it as a badge of honor that you have joined the growing number of survivors who have come in and had a cakewalk to win this week in Survivor history.
Well, yeah, I'll take my Survivor wins where I can get them. Thanks. Thanks for this, guys.
You'll get the invite to the Kayla's Kangaroo Facebook group that includes Megan Z and Nick Adanza so far. So you should look out for that.
Excellent. An elite group.
Okay. All right. Rourke, I will talk with you in a couple of weeks here on the podcast again. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll have fun.
Okay. All right. Follow. Do you want people to follow you on social media?
Sure.
Okay. Follow Rourke on Twitter. At Rourke Luskin?
I'm at Rourke's Tweets.
Rourke's Tweets. Okay. Yeah. So follow at Rourke's Tweets. And of course, the great host of This Week in Survivor History, at Jordan Kalish. Okay, thanks so much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank
Rourke.
You. This was fun.
All right, thanks again to Rourke Luskin appearing on This Week in Survivor History. All right, so that's going to do it for the Exit Interview podcast. We have got a lot more coming up over the weekend of Survivor. So here we go. So we've got Figgy coming up. We've got Corinne coming up as well. You can send your questions in survivor@robiswebsite.com for those shows. I think if you want to get a voicemail in, I'll be sure to check the voicemail line as well as we go along the day. Then Brett LaBelle this weekend. Very excited that we had one of the funniest voicemail podcasts of the season last season with Brett LaBelle. Always a treat to talk to him. So get your voicemails in as well for the podcast with Brett. And of course, the Wiggle Room coming on Monday. So a lot still to go here as we get through the next couple of days here of Survivor. So thanks so much for checking out the Exit Interview podcast. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments and on social media. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.